Now, if you've got the outline there, I want to point you to some statistics. This is from a website called blazinggrace.org. Last year, the worldwide sex industry reported sales of $97 billion. To put that in context, Microsoft, who sells the operating system used on most of the computers around the world, reported sales of less than half that. The sex industry sells more than double Microsoft. 77% of online visitors to adult content sites are male. Their average age in the States, at least, is 41, and they have an annual income of $60,000. 46% of them are married. The average teenager spends 3 to 4 hours per day watching television, and 83% of the programming most frequently watched by adolescents contains some sexual content. 17% of all women struggle with some form of interest in pornography. 9.4 million women access adult websites every month in the US. This is a problem also within the Christian community. One survey among Christians last year reported that 50% of Christian men and 20% of Christian women had a problem related to pornography. The US Customs Service estimates that there are more than 100,000 websites offering child pornography, which is illegal. Hollywood currently releases 11,000 adult movies per year, more than 20 times the mainstream movie production. There is sexually inappropriate material available everywhere, not just on the internet, but in magazines, in movies, on the television, and in every form of media. And although it may appear to be aimed primarily at men, the issues affect everyone: men, women, children, communities, families, and churches. It's now so all-pervasive that I think you and I probably don't even notice some of the sexually related messages that are aimed at us every day. Don gave me an article at some stage in the past 2 weeks, which was printed in the Herald Sun in November of this year, and it was called "Porn Should Not Be a Kid's Game." It was written by an Australian writer, Barbara Biggs, who has just published a novel called Chat Room, a teenage novel warning of the dangers of online grooming. If you're a school teacher here tonight, you should read that. In her newspaper article in the Herald Sun, she's discussing how damaging porn can be to children and how vital it is for us to find ways of keeping it out of our homes and off our computers. I decided after reading the article to email her. It's one of the good things about the internet, is I figured out how I could contact her. And I wanted to ask her some questions. She very kindly gave me her telephone number, and I rang her just on Thursday to have a chat. She told me some very straightforward things about porn and the porn industry, and she was speaking from experience, not because of her, but because her mother had been involved in a telephone chat line for 35 years. And I just want to pass on some of the things that Barbara Biggs told me. She said, primarily, it's a money-making industry. It's largely made by men for men, and it wants your money. Its depiction of sex is not normal. It is addictive and desensitizing. Someone might start on something and find pleasure in it, might find masturbation giving sexual pleasure, watching something, but over time it becomes like a drug and you need to find harder and harder images to get the same sort of thrill. Internationally, child sex trafficking is overtaking drugs as the major illegal way of making money. About 90% of the girls in the sex industry have been abused earlier in life. Now, I don't repeat these things that Barbara told me simply to shock you or to disgust you, nor do I tell you these things to stimulate an unhealthy curiosity in any of them. I'm telling you these things because I want you to realize how dangerous this is. If you use pornography, you might think you're not harming anybody, that in a sense it's victimless. Well, you are harming someone. You're harming yourself, and you're helping sustain a money-making industry which is harming people all over the globe, including women and children. Now, what do I mean when I say harming yourself? This little bit was very interesting when I was talking to Barbara about it. She'd just come from a conference here in Melbourne where the main speaker was a neuroscientist, someone who knows about the brain. His name is Dr. Bruce Perry. He has a website called childtrauma.org. He spent his life researching the effects on the brain of certain traumatic experiences. His research shows that as the brain develops, the synapses join to form templates in our brain that help us remember how to do things. So, for example, when you start to learn how to walk, there are certain synapses that join together in your brain to form a template inside your brain. Let's say it's called walking. And after you've repeated those attempts as a little child and you've stumbled and stumbled and you've figured it out, that template is laid in your brain so that you then know how to walk. You don't have to keep learning that every single day. It's there. The same is true for sex. The first intimate sexual relationship you have will create a template in your brain for what happens in sex. Barbara said this explains the high incidence of abused girls in the sex industry. They relate to the world sexually because this template was created in their brain when they were younger. If a young man's first experiences of sex is masturbating to disrespectful images of women on a screen, then this will affect his brain. The template will be laid down in his brain that this is what sex involves. Dr. Bruce Perry has done studies on the brain showing how this works from a neurological perspective. He can actually map it. Watching inappropriate sex on the internet, says Bruce Perry, it sculpts your sexuality. It shapes how you think about sex and relationships because it affects your brain. There are many bad things that I want to say also about pornography very briefly that I've learnt from discussing with some of you around here as I've asked for help with tonight. Pornography robs you of your willpower and of your dignity. It fools you into thinking you can gratify yourself, and it takes away the willpower to really work at real relationships. Sometimes the effect is to rob someone of their willpower to do things in other areas, like to finish a course of study or to achieve something that they've been asked to do, maybe a project at work or at school or something. Because the instant gratification of pornography sort of starts to affect them in a more general way. Pornography places lies in your head about what women look like, what they do, and how they want to be treated. It places lies in your head about men and power and trust and intimacy. It is evil, and you need to resist its temptation. The Apostle Peter, I don't think, knew much about our modern world and certainly didn't know about the internet. But in his first letter, he says, resist the devil. Sorry, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I think the devil uses pornography to devour people, to rob them of their willpower, to rob them of their dignity, to rob them of the chance to have proper God-honoring relationships. I listened to a sermon during the week that Kieran had lent me by John Piper, and it was entitled How to Get Over Sexual Failure. And it wasn't to do with stopping people failing sexually. He took that as a given, that we will all fail sexually somehow, sometime. Or not all of us, but you know, some of us will. His point was, he was so angry that the guilt of sexual failure robbed young people of the dreams they had to do something significant for Christ. Because the devil was using the guilt to say, you're a failure. I have got you where I want you. And people who fail sexually, whether it's pornography, the internet or something else, sometimes feel that guilt so deeply that they just sort of give up on trying to do anything significant for Christ. Resist it with all the energy you have. I'm going to try and give you some helps as I come to conclude. What conclusions do we come to then? Well, the internet might help you meet people and form real relationships. But you do have to be careful. A recent report pointed out that many people in Australia use false identities on the internet, some even up to 7 or 10 false identities. So you have to be careful whether or not you're meeting real people. I read an article during the week about the most popular girl in the States. 2.4 million friends on MySpace. And I watched a little clip interview with her, and she said, this is real people making real connections. And I thought, how do you make real connections with 2.4 million so-called friends? The advice I heard a policewoman give on the radio, who's called the cyber cop, was not to put your personal details on the internet. Once they're there, they can go anywhere and be used for any purposes. Kieran frightened me because he showed me that I was on the internet. Pictures of me baptizing people here at church. I thought, how did they get up there? Sites like MySpace and Facebook are redefining the meaning of the word friend. There is a superficial connection, but not necessarily any meaningful face-to-face friendship. At the extreme end of this is that girl I said who had 2.4 million friends. When I called up her website just to see what she was like, she's 26 years of age. She is in what you could loosely call the entertainment industry. She is using Facebook to make her career. She is making money out of being on Facebook. If you need help with pornography, look at some of the websites at the end of my sermon outline there. And because I want you to realize that you're not alone and that there are ways to fight back. During the week, Bill, can you pick up that DVD that's on my chair there? One of the bills? Can I have whichever one of you? During the week, I looked at a little DVD, which I've highlighted in your outline, called Every Young Man's Battle, subtitled Strategies for Victory in the Real World of Sexual Temptation. Now, we own that, and you're welcome to borrow it or to use it in a small group setting, and to follow through on some of the strategies they give you on how to defeat this issue in your life or those around you. One of the key areas, and it comes through in the reading, was to bring things to the light and not to try and struggle away with this by yourself or to hide it away in the dark. And one of the key ideas that these guys give is to just bring it out and be accountable to somebody for trying to overcome this problem. Now, I'm happy to be used as an accountability person for you. The other staff members are happy to do that, obviously, and I would hope that your small group leaders would do this. God's word from Ephesians gives us the direction we're aiming for, I believe, that we had read earlier on. We want to live pure lives. I know deep down all of us want to do that. We want to have relationships, male and female relationships, that are positive and life-affirming and full of the intimacy that all of us desire deep down inside us and are marked by sexual integrity and joy in how God has made us. It says in Ephesians 4:19, we're not to be people who've given ourselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. The writer of Ephesians, Paul, sees how it's addictive, you see. If you give yourself over to every kind of impurity, what happens? You have a continual lust for more. We're not to be like that. We're to adopt a new attitude and a new mind. Chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And what you think and what you put into your mind is really important. Job says in chapter 31, verse 1, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman, because he knows as soon as he does that, that goes into his brain. And Paul is saying we have to have a new mind and a new self. And verse chapter 5, verse 3, which is a key verse for this DVD, is there's not to be even a hint of sexual immorality or impurity amongst us. Why? The end of chapter 5, verse 3, because it's improper for God's holy people. It's just not the way God made us. It's not what God wants for us. He wants us to enjoy sex and to enjoy the positive, loving relationships that we can have with each other. And it's very important to hear the positive message, because God made us males and females, and he wants us to really enjoy each other's difference. You see that very clearly, I think, in the creation story in Genesis. It's not just don't do this, don't do that. It's don't do this so that you can really enjoy the good idea of being male and female. And it's hard to learn how to do it God's way and resist the devil, but that's what we've got to try and do. One of the websites I draw your attention to is thefight.com, which is an Australian site established by Adrian Rouse. Adrian describes himself like this. I was addicted to porn from age 16 to 21. I was a youth leader and worship leader in my church. I loved God with a passion. I hated my addiction. Yet I couldn't break free. I never shared my secret. I thought if I did, I'd be rejected and condemned. Something had to break. I took a chance. I shared my struggle with someone. They didn't know what to say, but they did point me to someone who could help. Over the next 4 to 5 years, my life changed big time. It was a period of all-out war, as God taught me strategies for the fight. Now, some 10 years since I was addicted, I'm sharing what I've learnt with young people across the globe. You can look up Adrian's site as I've given it to you there. It may not be that Adrian's story is for you, it may be for someone you know. You may be the accountability person for somebody else who needs to hold themselves accountable to you. You might be the trusted, praying, face-to-face friend for somebody else. And you might need to find information that helps you to be equipped for that role. I'll just repeat a couple of these websites for those who are listening to this via the internet or are downloading it onto their MP3 or what have you. So the helpful websites I'm suggesting are thefight.com.au, xxxchurch.com, blazinggrace.org, downtoearthdiscipleship.com.